on what I have entitled Palal I Judge. Palal I Judge. When I say Palal, this is what I mean by Palal. You can check from the chat box. This is what I mean by Palal. This is what I mean by Palal. Palal I Judge. When I say Palal, you shout I Judge. Palal I Judge. Palal I Judge. You will understand what I mean by Palal very soon. Palal I Judge. 1 Samuel chapter 1. Verse 20 to 27. I want you to pick your holy Bibles wherever you are. Open your phones, your laptops, your tablets. Get your Bible. Let's read together. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. I want you to read 1 Samuel chapter number 1. 1 Samuel chapter number 1. Are you there? 1 Samuel chapter number 1. We are going to pick a reading from verse 20 to 27. And I want you to pay attention to what we are going to read, because it is the only reading probably we are going to do for tonight. And I want you to pay attention because God is telling us something. So I'm going to pick the reading from the King James Version. Brother Emmanuel will help us to do the reading. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20 to 27.
Okay. Please, I'm reading from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20 to 27 from the King James Version. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 20 to 27. Wherefore, it came to pass when the time was come about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and gave and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. 21. And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I'll not go up until the child be weighed. Then I'll bring him, that he may appear before the Lord, and there abide forever. 23. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weighed him. Only the Lord establish his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weighed him. 24. And when she had weighed him, she took him up with her, and there are three bullocks, and one ephah of flour, and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. 25. And they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. 26. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I'm the woman that stood by thee here, praying unto the Lord. 27. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Verse 27 is our emphasis. Verse 27 is our emphasis. For this child I prayed. For this child, I plead. For this child. Remember, King James is one of the best versions when it comes to translations of the Bible. From the original languages to the current day modern English. He says, for this child, I plead. Not for a child, I plead. Not for a child, I prayed. See, for this child, I prayed. For this child. There comes a time you should be able to point your hand, point your finger at one particular testimony and say that for this marriage, I prayed. For this child, I prayed. For this house, I prayed. For this miracle money, I prayed. For this $10,000, I prayed. For this child, I prayed. Now, Verse 27 is our focus for tonight, and I want you to follow me very carefully. Samuel's mother, called Hannah, is saying that, "For this child I prayed." Now, that word called prayed, that word prayed, the word prayed is has a meaning. The Old Testament, as we know, was written both in the Hebrew language and the Aramaic. So there are just some few portions that you see the Aramaic in the scriptures of the Old Testament. But predominantly, it was in Hebrew. So I want us to go into the Hebrew context to understand the statement Hannah made when she said, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him." So to go back to the Hebrew, that word called prayed comes from the word in the Hebrew called palal, palal, palal. And that is the word I've typed in the chat box, palal. And the word palal actually means to judge. It means to judge. So palal means to judge. Palal means to judge. Are we together? Are we together? Palal means to judge. So it means that when Hannah was saying, "For this child I prayed," she was not just saying for this child, it was not just an ordinary prayer. It was not one of those prayers that, you know, Hannah was just praying. No, Hannah was not just praying. Actually, Hannah was judging for the child. So, "For this child I prayed," instead of saying "for this child," he said, "For this child I judged." You understand me? Hannah did not just pray for a child, but Hannah was judging for a child. Are we together? So the word talal means I judge. So it means that Hannah, I'm laying a foundation. Hannah did not just pray. Hannah was actually judging. She was judging to get her child. She was judging to get her child. So the word palal means to judge. And it doesn't just mean, it means to judge officially or mentally. To judge officially or mentally. And when we say officially or mentally, it means that is to say that to judge physically or spiritually. Officially means that you sign against the ruling you make, and then also mentally, spiritually, invisibly. So Hannah was not praying just for a child. Hannah was judging for a child. This means that there are different kinds of prayer. You know, there are different kinds of prayer. I wouldn't want to go into details, but we have the prayer of salvation in Romans 10, where the Bible talks about the fact that with our heart we believe unto righteousness, and with our mouth we confess unto salvation. That is the prayer we pray when you need salvation. This is the salvation prayer. We have worship. Worship is also another form of prayer. Worship is another form of prayer. Petition. The prayer of petition is also another kind of prayer. Prayer of petition is when you make a formal request to appeal to an authority for a cause. So when you are appealing to God for a cause that and making a request, it is the prayer of petition. Then we have the prayer of faith. We have the prayer of faith is also there. I wouldn't go into details, but any prayer that is demonstrated by faith is usually the prayer of faith is born out of declarations and born out of faith, strong faith. And this kind of prayer, a lot of times, yields results instantly. Then we have the prayer of intercession. It's also another kind of prayer. Then we also have the prayer of judgment. Tonight, I want to talk to you about halal, I judge. Somebody say, I judge. Somebody say, I judge. Halal, I judge. So when we say the prayer of judgment, I'm sure a lot of you begin to think, why are we supposed to pray a prayer of judgment? I want to tell you what the prayer of judgment is not. When I say the prayer of judgment is not praying that those who hate you should die. You know, in our part of the world, especially in our part of the world where God has placed some of us in the continent of Africa, we really come face to face in contact with certain powers and deities. And we see the raw power. People think that some of these things don't exist, but they do exist. And when we say the prayer of judgment, a lot of times you see people praying those kind of prayers, but actually they don't really understand what the prayer of judgment is, because the prayer of judgment is not praying that those who hate you should die. That is not it. It is not wishing evil for someone who offended you. No, that is not what we are going to do tonight. We are not here to wish evil for people who offended you. No. And we are not here to pray that those who hate us should die. That is not what we are doing here. Prayer of judgment is also not a prayer against flesh and blood. It is not a prayer you pray against human beings. So we are not here to fight your father. We are not here to pray against any human being. No, that is not what we are here to do. So what is the prayer of judgment? And I want you to listen carefully. Some of you, you need to go back and digest my definition of prayer of judgment, because a lot of you may not understand. I'll read it only twice. So I want you to listen carefully. Prayer of judgment is the prayer born out of a deep and earnest conviction of your authority in Christ that comes from knowledge and exercising that authority by confronting the discerned invisible personalities who are diligently working to counter the original plan of God through spirit-filled and spirit-led confessions. That is the prayer of judgment. I repeat, it is the prayer born out of a deep and earnest conviction of your authority in Christ. And that authority comes from the knowledge and exercising that authority by confronting the discerned invisible personalities who are diligently working to counter the original plan of God for your life through spirit-filled and spirit-led confessions. Tonight, you and I are going to exercise the authority of Christ, which is in us. And we are going to exercise by confronting certain invisible personalities who are diligently working to counter the original plan of God for your life, for your family, for your marriage, for your business. And we are going to do this through confessions that are spirit-filled and spirit-led. Can I hear a bigger amen in this place? This is what I call the prayer of judgment. A lot of times, this kind of prayer demands a strong prophetic discerning of spirits. So you should know what is causing what so that you can confront it well. And I am praying that tonight, every one of us here will receive the spirit of discernment, the discerning of spirit. That gift shall be poured upon everyone under the sound of my voice. Because listen, a lot of times there are things happening to you and you don't understand why they are happening to you. Sometimes things are happening and you don't really know where they come from. There are many things that can happen to a person and they think that they know the cause, but they actually don't know the cause. You need the gift we call discerning of spirit to be able to discern and know the kind of invisible personality which is working behind the scene and fighting what God has for your life. And this is what Daniel at a point did not have, because Daniel had prayed for 3 weeks, fasting and praying, that a miracle should happen. But for 3 weeks, there was an invisible personality who was in charge of the territory of Persia. And this invisible personality was the prince of Persia. And what was the prince of Persia doing? He was gently working behind the scenes to counter the original plan of God for Daniel and to ensure that Daniel remained in a chronic situation and Daniel remained in a chronic long-term problems, and to ensure that the answers of Daniel's prayer never came to Daniel. But thanks be to God that in the realm of the spirit, the spirit of God through revelation made Daniel aware that it was not a normal happening, but there was an invisible spirit called the invisible prince of Persia who was actually stopping the angel Michael from bringing the testimony that Daniel was supposed to release. People of God, I am here to tell you that when Hannah was praying for Samuel, Hannah was not just praying. Hannah was making a judgment, because in the realm of the spirit, there were some strange, invisible personalities that were trying to fight, and they were working against the scene to make sure that Hannah remained chronically barren. But it took the judgment of Hannah in prayer for the situation to turn around. That is why tonight, our prayer and the kind of prayer we are going to pray tonight is the prayer of judgment. We are going to judge certain situations in prayer. By tomorrow, 12 p.m., by tomorrow, 6 p.m., wherever your local time is, by 6 p.m. tomorrow, some of you are going to literally see answers to the prayer you are going to pray tonight. Because of the judgment you are going to make tonight, there are going to be strange manifestations after tonight. Am I talking to somebody here? Listen, when I say palal, palal means to judge. And in every judgment, there are two personalities. We have the defendant and we have the plaintiff. Hannah was not just praying for a child. Listen, Let me blow your mind. Let me blow your mind. Can I blow your mind tonight? Can I tell you something? Can I teach you something from the word? All right. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6. Let me show you something there. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 6. Oh my God. No, in verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 5. The Bible said, but unto Hannah, Elkanah gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord, somebody say the Lord. Oh, I can't hear you. Say the Lord. He said the Lord had shut up Hannah's womb. When you read other versions, the other versions will say, the Lord had closed up the womb of Hannah. So it means that the original plan, listen, oh my God, listen carefully. What it means is that God had closed the womb of Hannah for a while, but not forever. Am I talking to somebody? God closed the womb of Hannah for a while, but not forever. For a while does not mean forever. That is not God's plan. For a while does not mean forever. This is what the Bible says, affliction shall not rise a second time. Because in the plan of God, we are not supposed to be in affliction every day, every evening, every now, every day, every hour, every minute. This is not the plan of God, that you should be in affliction every day, every week, every month. This is not the plan of God. God closed the womb of Hannah for a while, but not forever. For a while does not mean forever. That is not God's plan. So Hannah did not just pray for a child, again I say, but Hannah was contending with a personality that was invisible. And the personality wanted Hannah's short while to remain forever. The personality that was fighting with Hannah realized that God had made a declaration that Hannah's womb should be closed for a while. But Hannah realized that the time was too much. Hannah realized that it was becoming a chronic situation. Hannah realized that the time was prolonged. So Hannah began contending and fighting and judging the personality that was contending with her and that was trying to make a short while to remain forever. So there is a short while and there is a forever. God's plan is not for you to remain in that problem forever. There comes a time, the Bible said that weeping may endure for a night. Oh my God. But joy comes in the morning. Weeping is not supposed to be endured in the night and in the morning. Weeping is not supposed to, it's not supposed to be 24 hours. It's not supposed to be 24/7. He said that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Am I talking to somebody here? So God's plan for Hannah was Hannah's womb to remain closed for a while. But she realized that a time came that Hannah realized that the thing was prolonging. The thing was becoming chronic. So Hannah said, I must do something about the situation. People of God, can I tell somebody something tonight? That if you are not careful, the short while of God can become a forever chronic situation by the devil. If you don't make up your mind that you are going to stand up and fight and judge and pray and deal with certain situations, you realize that the enemy will begin to make your short whiles become forever chronic situation. If you have been doing something and you realize that this thing, you see, anytime you want to see demonic things happening, look at chronic situations. Anytime you want to see whether the devil is working, begin to check chronic situations, because chronic situations are not the plans of God. Chronic situations are not the will of God. So anything chronic in your life, it is not from God. Anything chronic, anything that is persistent, it looks as if it has happened to somebody and it is becoming another, it's becoming a trend, and it is becoming something that happens to everybody, then you need to check that and deal with it, because the devil is trying to play around it, capitalize on it, and then begin to make sure that you become a bondage to that thing. But tonight, you are going to lift a prayer, and the prayer of judgment will put the devil where he belongs. Am I pointing to somebody? I said, the prayer of judgment you are going to offer tonight will put the devil where he belongs. Allah, I judge. Hannah said, for this child I prayed. But I realized that Hannah did not just pray for a child. Hannah was contending for the child, because Hannah realized that when God said it is closing for a short while, now the devil went to look for padlocks. The devil went to look for high security, artificial intelligent locks and locked the wombs. And Hannah realized that as many times that her husband decided to have sexual affair with her, she was not getting pregnant. Then she realized that this thing is not normal. This thing is not natural. There are things and powers that have decided to work against the plan of God. Anytime you realize that something is becoming chronic and something is becoming a long-term problem, it means that the devil is trying to capitalize on maybe what God has said a short while, and began fighting you. But tonight, your prayer will lift every embargo. Your prayer will lift every burden. I said your prayer will lift every embargo from your life. Every yoke, that chronic yoke of 10 years, that chronic disease, that chronic problem. You married for 10 years, and you said you want a baby, but it looks like it is becoming a long-term problem. Tonight is going to be a night of judgment, and God is going to arise, and that invisible power which is fighting your glory and your joy. I see the finger of judgment rising up tonight and waging and directed to your enemies and those that are working behind the scenes, working to destroy and make your problem chronic, that see the hand of God bringing deliverance and bringing a shift and bringing a change and bringing a healing. I decree and declare that tonight, the judgment of God is bringing your child. The judgment of God that brought Hannah's child shall bring your child tonight. Your child may be that money. Your child may be that car. Your child may be that testimony. Your child may be that business. The judgment of God that brought Hannah's child, tonight it will bring your child. Tonight your child will arrive because of the judgment of prayer. Tonight your child will come. Your child will come. That chronic problem will drop tonight. That chronic problem will drop tonight. There will be a deliverance. There will be a shift. You'll be loose from that burden. You'll be loose from that pain. You'll be loose and you'll be set free. For if the Son of Man shall set you free, you shall be free. Indeed, I decree and declare upon every person under the sound of my voice, get ready to wage war tonight. Sometimes when you are too comfortable, the devil becomes comfortable with you. Sometimes you have to go crazy. Sometimes you got to say to yourself, enough is enough. Sometimes you got to say to yourself, I have cried for enough. I have wailed for enough. Sometimes you got to say to yourself, I cannot continue weeping, because weeping is supposed to endure only for a night, and joy is supposed to come in the morning. But when you realize that weeping is extended to the morning, it means that the problem is becoming chronic. It means that weeping has become chronic because it has extended its time. It has extended its boundaries. It has extended its borders. So when you realize that weeping is extending its time and extending its boundaries and borders, then you know that it is counteracting against the original plan of God. Therefore, tonight, wherever you are, under the sound of my voice, we stand today in the corporate anointing in this house, and we decree and declare that every weeping which is trying to extend to the morning, tonight it shall drop. Tonight it shall drop. Tonight it shall drop. We release the judgment of God against any weeping, against any chronic situation. Be free. Be free. I declare, be free. I decree, be free. Be free in your mind. Be free in your soul. Be free in your body. May that problem which the enemy has orchestrated, let the problem melt away. Let the problem drop right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, my Father, my Father. Makuka katakatakata. Ipaliako Otosha. Hannah said, for this child I contended. For this child I judged. For this child I prayed. For this child I died. Tonight, may the prayer of judgment release a certain deliverance. Listen, people of God, the prayer of deliverance, it is the kind of prayer that is born out of a deep and endless conviction of your authority in Christ. And it comes from the knowledge of the word and exercising this authority by confronting that discerned invisible personality which are diligently working behind the scenes to counter the original plan of God for your life. And you do this through confessions which are spirit-filled and spirit-led. Any marriage situation, any job situation, any health issue tonight, enough is enough. You are coming out. You are coming out. You are coming out. In the name of Jesus, somebody shout, palau. Somebody shout, Palal, I judge. Palal, I judge. Wherever you are right now, we are going to lift up prayer. We are going to lift up prayer in the next few minutes. I want you to begin. Listen, you are going to make confessions. A judge does not speak for long. A judge only does rulings. A judge will rule. The plaintiff will allege that somebody may have offended him or her. But when it comes to the judge will only make rulings. The judge will make rulings on the lawsuits which has been brought before the court. A judge will only rule. A judge will not complain. A judge does not cry in the court. Tonight, you are not going to cry. A judge does not complain in the court. Tonight, you are not going to complain. A judge does not worry. You are not going to worry in this court. Tonight, you are going to make a ruling. I don't know what ruling you want. I don't know what legislation you want, but you are going to make rulings because you carry the authority that is in Jesus. There are confessions I want you to make tonight, and this confessions will live generations after you. Am I talking to somebody here? I said you are going to make some confessions tonight, and the confessions will live many, many years after you. When you are even dead and gone, those confessions will make. For example, some of you will declare tonight that the least amount of money that your family members should have should be $100 million, and it will be so. It will happen that the rest of your generation, nobody will work behind this ruling. Nobody will work against this ruling because your ruling will forever work. Some of you, the rulings you are going to make tonight, your set of twins will be on the way. I said your set of twins will be on the way. There is going to be a strange manifestation of power. Listen to me. I have seen power working in this meeting place, in this prayer room. And tonight, in the month of February, as we make this declaration of prayer and judgment, there is going to be a strange manifestation of power. You are not going to understand how it will happen, but there is going to be a strange manifestation of power in the life of your wife, in the life of your husband, in the lives of your children, in the lives of your family. There's going to be a turnaround, and you will be surprised at what God is going to do. Am I talking to somebody here? Listen, there is a strange confession and a judgment that David made. David made a judgment, and the judgment has been working till date. In 2 Samuel chapter number 1 verse 21. This is the last scripture, and we begin to pray. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 21. God has said in his word that touch not my anointed and do my prophet no harm. Nobody that is anointed is supposed to be touched. People of God, can I announce to you that if you are here under the sound of my voice, never touch an anointed man. Never touch an anointed woman. Because when you touch an anointed person, what comes to you will be something you cannot stand against. Listen, in 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 21, the Bible talks about Saul and his son Jonathan and other sons. They all went to battle, and in one day, the sons of Saul, together with their father Saul, they all perished in one battle in one day. And the Bible said, when Saul was wounded in battle, Saul wanted somebody to die. And there was this young man, and the young man actually touched Saul and killed Saul and made Saul die, and went to announce to David that this is what happened in the battleground. And the Bible says, and David allowed the young man also to be killed. Bible says that we should not kill by the sword. He who digs a pit shall die or shall fall in the pit first. And he who kills by the sword shall by the sword also be killed. Never touch an anointed person. When people are touching anointed people, don't join them. Bible says that the mountain
that Saul died, and the mountain that the sons of Saul died was the mountain called Mount Gilboa. Mount Gilboa was the mountain on which Saul died. And when David realized that the mountain had soaked the blood of the anointed, oh, David said, how art that the anointed is fallen? How, he said that, how art that the mighty are fallen? Oh, how art that the mighty are fallen? Oh, Baraba, he said, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of battle? David said, how are the mighty fallen in the midst of the battle? Oh, Jonathan was slain. He said that Saul died as if he was not anointed. Saul died as if he was not anointed. And I don't know why, but the Bible says David cursed the mountain on which Saul died. And I began asking myself, why should David kill as the mountain? David made a confession. He spoke and made a judgment against the mountain Gilboa. He said, let there be no dew on this mountain, and let there be no rain on this mountain, nor field on this mountain. He said, for you have allowed yourself for the mighty shield of Saul to be put down, and the anointed one of God had died on this mountain. Because of that, you are judged. I don't know why that David began to charge the mountain. But after meditating upon the word of God, I came to understand that sometimes even the earth should favor you. Am I talking to you, to somebody? Sometimes when you are at the anointed of God, even the land and the earth is programmed to favor you. Even the sun and the elements God has created are all programmed to favor the anointed of the Lord. Are there some anointed people in this house? Are there some anointed men and women in this place? I am here to tell you, because you are the anointed of the Lord, even the earth will favor you. Even the sun will favor you. Even the trees will favor you. Even the mountains are supposed to favor you. The Mount of Gilboa, because it didn't act and didn't favor Saul, the prophetic king David began judging the land. And do you know that according to my research, up to date in Israel, in fact, I still have the picture today, up to date in Israel, that Mount Gilboa is still a desert. That Mount Gilboa, nothing good grows on the land. It has become a place where people go for tourist people, tourists go for all kinds of games and parachuting and all kinds of things. Why? Because the words spoken by David, Palal, I judge, when David began to charge the land, because the land was acting, counteracting the plan of God for the anointed men, that when you were anointed, the earth is supposed to favor you. When you are anointed, even the sun and everything God has created is supposed to favor you, because the earth was working against the plan of God. The man of God judged the earth, and today the judgment is still working against Mount Gilboa. Some of you, the judgment you are going to make tonight, it will follow you and your children. It will follow you and your grandchildren. It will follow you and the generations unborn. And many years will come. You are going to see that people will trace prophetically, and they will know that it was because somebody spoke in this family and said, never again. Somebody spoke in this family and said, enough is enough. Somebody spoke in this family and said, breakthrough must be our portion. Favor must be our portion. And that is why we are enjoying favor. At this point in time, I don't know whether you are ready to make some judgment. Enough of the chronic situations. I know a young woman who had miscarriages about 11 times, 9 to 11 times. And when she realized that this thing was becoming repetitive, you know, it's like repetition. It happens, it happens, it happens, and it is becoming chronic. Then you know that something demonic is working against it. People of God, are you ready to make some judgment in prayer? You see, this kind of prayer, I want you to make the confessions you are going to make. It should not be born out of your flesh. Don't fight any human being. Don't pray that somebody should die. No, you are going to speak. The words you are going to speak should bubble out of your spirit. It should come out of your innermost being. The confession should bubble out of your inner man. And when you do that, it will work. So there are only two prayer topics we are praying tonight. This is the first prayer. So I want you to right now unmute your microphone and begin to make judgments in prayer. I don't know what is working against you. I don't know what is fighting you, sister. I don't know what is fighting you, brother. I don't know what has delayed. I don't know what is becoming chronic. But Hannah realized that God only said that you are supposed to have a womb that is closed for a while. But he realized that it was becoming forever. Until, assuming Hannah had not waged war of prayer, what would have happened to Hannah? I want you to open your mouth. Begin to wage war. Begin to make judgment.